Big refund, big project, big savings at Menards. Turn your tax refund into your next big project. That patio you've been dreaming of is more affordable than you think when you do it yourself. Get free estimates fast using our landscaping design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on the largest selection of concrete landscaping blocks at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money at
Menards. Everyone has their own unique views and needs when it comes to financial success. If you'd like to leave your financial woes behind and live a life of financial freedom, you've come to the right place. Welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, hosted by Steve Sexton. The show will help you with the ins and outs of money. We talk about financial issues that could be costing you thousands of dollars and keeping you up at night. We talk about money, tax reduction, saving more, spending less, 401ks, risk management, retirement, and everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happy relationship with money. Now, here is your host of Saving with Steve, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome to the Saving with Steve Show, where we talk about the ins and outs of money, pretty much everything under the sun that relates to you having a happier, healthier relationship with money. My name is Steve Sexton. I want to thank you for joining us today. I truly want to thank you for sharing with your friends and families. We're well over the million listener and viewer mark, so we're so very, very excited, and we want to appreciate you for that. Today, we have something really special. Almost everybody that's listening here is going to be affected like this. I mean, in fact, everybody's going to be affected by it, but today, the focus is the ins and outs of Social Security, how it works, best time to file. What should survivors keep in mind? Divorce, widowed, disabled. Well, how does it affect you? More importantly, women typically live longer than men. Most men pass away with a spouse. Most women don't. So it's important to understand that planning for women so they're prepared and you have the ability to transition for the stability and survivor, financial stability and to be able to survive the rest of that retirement. So with that, we have Karen Collins. She almost has 3 decades of experience. She's the founder and CEO and president of a nonprofit Transamerican Institute. It is a division of Transamerica Center for Retirement Studies. She's an expert in longevity, retirement, market trends. She champions Americans who are at risk of not achieving their financial security in retirement. She oversees all the organization's research, outreach initiatives, including the annual Transamerican Retirement Survey. You know what? One of the big things here about Catherine is I can go like 5 more minutes and list all of her awards, so I won't have to do that. But she's one of those people that people call on because she's the resource that's done the research, knows what's going on, and can tell you, hey, this is what you really want to be considering when you're doing this. So we're just so lucky to have Catherine here. So Catherine, thanks for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
Great. So the first part is, I really, I didn't say this to you at the beginning before we started chatting, before we jumped on, is what got you going down this path? What got you going into Social Security, retirement, and all that stuff?
Oh, how much time do you have? I'll give you the short version, and it predates my professional career. I was profoundly influenced by my grandparents, who taught me. They were my money mentors, but they were also very focused on retirement, not only their own, but when my grandfather retired, he got involved with a nonprofit organization dedicated to affordable housing for seniors. And as a little girl, I couldn't understand that grandparents might not be able to afford a place to live. And that's what really sparked my passion. And I will tell you, 50 years later, for the last 7 years, I've served on the board of that same very nonprofit.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So in other words, childhood. I think that's wonderful. The heart to serve is just outstanding. So that's great. So let's start talking about the basics. What should people know about Social Security, how it works? Let's just start there.
Okay, yeah. So let's start sort of really, really big picture. And Social Security is, and we'll talk about it in the context of retirement benefits, but it is a government system that workers pay a portion of every paycheck into, and by the way, their employers contribute to, towards building a guaranteed lifetime benefit in retirement. Social Security has been meant to supplement other forms of retirement income, although many find themselves with it being their only source or their primary source of retirement income. And so, how do you contribute? It comes in through payroll deduction, or if you're self-employed, you pay into the self-employment Social Security contributions. And then to be eligible to claim benefits, or the word I like to use is best, you need 40 credits, which is approximately a credit is approximately one quarter of work experience and at a certain income level. So the implication is, if you do the math, 10 years of work history contributing into the system. And that's important to know, especially if somebody's in or out of the workforce or gig economy and maybe not paying in. To receive any benefits, you've got to pay in and meet that minimum threshold. And that is not the maximum benefit that you would receive. The maximum Social Security benefit you receive is based on your entire earnings history and your average wages that have been the basis of your contributing to Social Security.
So I have a question there. There's a number of people who have small businesses, and if they're having their own business, they really don't have the quarterly income. They have that income that goes all year. So, how does somebody, and then what is the minimum if you have to contribute to Social Security? What's the minimum wage you have to earn if you're a sole proprietor, or run your own business?
The key is, and I want to say it's about $1,800 per quarter, or to meet the credit requirement. And it's also really important to, especially if you're self-employed, know the rules and try to meet that minimum threshold. And even if there's ways you can smooth over your income so that you can meet that threshold, or you could just have a really, a dry spell where income isn't coming in, just know you may not be getting credit for that quarter and that you'll have to make up for it at some point to hit the full 40 credits.
Okay, so that's important to know.
Self-employment comes with a lot of flexibility, being your own boss and autonomy, but it also comes with extra administrative work, especially as it relates to looking after your own financial future.
Okay, so after the credits, what's after that?
Okay, well, you the overall benefit calculation, once you get to retirement, looks at a 35-year work history. And your average earnings and your contributions over that time frame. And that's the formulaically, that's a big component of what your benefit payment will look like. Now you haven't asked about ages, but ages are super important with Social Security. And if we start with full retirement age, which many call the FRA. And it's really important to know your FRA or your full retirement age. For most people in the workforce, it is between 66 and 67. For people born after 1960, it's 67. So it's not 65, which is confusing to people because that number is ingrained in so many of our minds. But for many people in the workforce, for Gen X, full retirement age is 67. So that is the age at which you claim, if you claim your Social Security at your full retirement age, that's when you would get 100% of your benefits. So that's your anchor point. I'll use the word anchor point. Now, life doesn't always work that way for everybody. In our own research of retirees, many find themselves retiring sooner than planned, either due to health or employment-related issues, or maybe even caregiving. Because the median age people are retiring is around 62. They're not making it to that full retirement age. And the median age they're receiving Social Security is 63. Well, that's obviously not 66 or 67. That's short of that. Social Security allows you to start receiving your benefits at 62. However, it's at a significant reduction of your monthly benefit. And depending on where your 62nd birthday stands relative to your full retirement age, at 62, if you're to claim benefits, the reduction in monthly payments could be as much as 30%. So, yeah, that's a big haircut. But of course, the logic is you're receiving monthly benefits for that much longer because you started 4 or 5 years sooner. Social Security also has a provision that you don't have to claim it your full retirement age. If you want, you can stretch it out all the way to age 70. And with that, you would get approximately an 8% increase in your monthly benefit for every year that you wait until 70. So that could be as much as, say, 24%. You have to wait longer to get it, but once you do, it will be a larger monthly amount. So there's some strategy in there.
Now, I have a question before we go to break. There's a number of people who sent in emails about this, and they're actually over the age of 70, and they haven't started taking their Social Security yet. What's the message for people who are over 70 that haven't started taking their Social Security? I'm talking 72, 73, 71. What are they missing out on?
Okay. They may be missing out on their monthly benefits. What I would do, it could be because they're still working or possibly, they just have decided to, for whatever reason.
They actually thought they would get more money.
Okay. The maximum age is 70. And if you're over 70 and haven't started yet, I think it's really important that you contact the Social Security Administration about starting to receive your benefits. If you work with a financial advisor, they're also a good source to check in with. And if you still have funds in your employer's 401k plan, they're still available. The plan provider is still available to you as a resource to guide you on how you want to make those decisions.
That's great. Folks, stick with us. We'll be right back with more Catherine Collinson here. We're going to be talking about Social Security.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve Show.
The station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio.
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve Show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve Show. I truly want to thank you for tuning in. I appreciate you sharing it with your friends and family and associates. All the replays are available at savingwithsteve.us. Just the recent information that Catherine shared with us, you're going to want to listen again and again because you don't want to miss that stuff. And if you're enjoying the stories of helpful information and insight, you can go check us out on our YouTube channel. Check out a few of our affiliates at UK Health Radio, BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, E360 TV, Las Vegas TV Networks. But all these networks are dedicated to empowering you to solve problems, uplift spirits, and live a life of personal and financial freedom. You can always find us on Facebook at Saving with Steve Sexton. So with that, I want to bring back Catherine Collinson. Catherine, again, thank you for being with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
This has been wonderful. So let's start talking about age-old question, when's the right time to take Social Security? What should people thinking about, how they should be considering it? What other additional information other than just the numbers of how much you get?
Okay, great question. And I'm not sure if everybody's going to like this answer or not, but the rule of thumb is there is no rule of thumb. It is a highly, highly personal decision based on your own facts and circumstances, and it requires doing your homework. And it's so important you do your homework because decisions you make about claiming Social Security, one, many of which you're going to have to live with the rest of your life. So, the stakes are high. But also, if you can do your homework and understand scenarios involved, you can potentially maximize your benefits. Or, absent doing your homework, you could make mistakes that would result in getting fewer benefits. So the rule of thumb is no rule of thumb. You got to do your homework. It can make a big difference in the long run, and it's worth your time.
So could you give us a, I'll just give you an example. One gentleman, he's 70 years old and he decided to wait. And what he's been doing is been taking approximately $30,000, which would have been his full retirement age benefit, out of his investments every single year for the last 3 years. That's $90,000. And then he kind of figured it out that, like, hold on a second. If I was getting my $28,000 a year Social Security benefit, I would have only had to take out two and I wouldn't have to eat away on my or cannibalize my retirement plan. Did it really make sense for me to wait? And then it's going to be 86 or 87 or 88 to get back even. And then he goes, and then I started thinking about inflation and I stopped right there. So
there's different ways of looking at it, but this is neither right nor wrong. I'm just going to share my perspectives on this. Somebody who decided to wait to 70, even if it did involve dipping into other savings, is having waited to 70, the larger monthly benefit. And then another thing that we haven't talked about yet on this show is Social Security has an annual cost of living adjustment, so which is generally tied to inflation. So not only is it he getting a guaranteed monthly income, he's also getting that cost of living adjustment at that higher monthly amount. So there's an added benefit, and it's also guaranteed income, which is different if you're following the stock market, which we know thankfully generally trends up, but we've all experienced those times where our seatbelts were fastened and we were gasping for oxygen, wondering what was going to happen. So there's also, I personally place value on peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. So when people are looking at, you have some people who live, like the average age, my folks are 89. They'll probably live to the mid 90s like the rest of their family did, both sides of their family. So I'm looking at something like that. So, and then you have other people who've let life expectancy are in the 70s. So are these things that they should be taken into consideration when they're taking a look at when's the right time to take Social Security?
And these are really hard questions and hard conversations. And also, we've got to consider dependents, whether it's spouses or other family members, and why it's so critical to align your decision making with your own circumstances. Because if the overall goal is to maximize your benefits, there are some scenarios are more optimal than others. If you do have a family or precedent in your family of people living to their 90s or early hundreds, we've got to plan for a really long retirement and to avoid running out of money in retirement. So that is one big consideration. If you're not in great health, or if there's extenuating circumstances like that, planning earlier may be better for your situation, but everybody's different. One thing for the individual who is claiming earlier or possibly claiming earlier, and if they do have a serious health condition and are concerned about their longevity, is the planning's even more important, because they're not only planning for their own benefit and optimizing that, but also if they're married, a surviving spousal benefit, to be able to maximize what they can do with both, looking at it with this.
No problem. I get that. You should be looking at the whole picture, not only now, but down the road. And it makes sense to be doing that retirement analysis to see the actual impact on your overall assets, the longevity of those assets, especially, for the continuation of your spouse, and to cover, making sure you're looking at things where, because there's medical expenses that get larger and larger if you need help. So you want to take a look at that whole thing is to see when's the right time for taking your Social Security. Is that pretty much what you're alluding to?
You said it perfectly.
Oh,
you nailed it. Yes. So
now, so let's begin to talk about, if you're disabled, when does Social Security benefits start if you're disabled? How long do they last? How does that work?
Okay. So now Social Security also has a disability benefit, and hopefully we don't become disabled, but if you do, it is important to understand you can, there are certain criteria that need to be met in order to qualify for disability benefits and research what your options are through Social Security. And also if you're working, also to research what disability, short and long-term disability benefits you may have through your employer or long-term disability insurance that you may have through your employer so that you can understand sort of the full picture of what benefits could be available to you.
Okay. And then, could you, when it comes to Social Security disability benefits, there's a lot of people who think the Social Security disability benefits end at 65 and then you go into your regular Social Security. Do you know how that works?
You know what? There are intricacies and I'm not fully confident in describing how that works. Again, different situations, different benefit levels. If it's really incumbent to do that research with Social Security, because if a disability benefit's greater than what a retirement benefit might be, you want to be able to preserve, preserve the larger of the benefits.
We have Catherine Collinson here. She is a founding member of the nonprofit Transamerican Institute. And it's a division of the Transamerican Center for Retirement Studies. We're just lucky to have her. She's just explaining all the ins and outs of Social Security. But next, we're going to be talking about something big. When it comes to divorce, we're seeing 50% divorce rates across the United States. There's an effect on Social Security and what it means to you and how that works. And then, you know what? We have people that pass away. How does the widow benefits? One of the big questions we've got from our listeners is, hey, what if I get remarried? How do these benefits work for me? So let's just start with the widow benefits. I think that's one of the biggest things there. So Catherine, could you just shed light on how that works, when that could start, the impacts if somebody decides they're going to get remarried down the road, that type of thing?
Okay, so let's talk about, well, there's a lot to unpack there. So let's talk about spousal survival benefits first. I think that was the first thing that you touched. Then we can move on to divorce and other scenarios. And as we talk about it, you'll see our lives are full of surprises in terms of the timing of when and how things happen relative to various rules. So, and I am actually going to read this because I want to get it just right. If you file for spousal benefits at your full, this is spousal benefits. So I'm going to talk about that then to surviving spouse. So we've got to talk about the spouse first before what comes next. If you file for spousal benefits at your full retirement age, you can receive 50% of your spouse's benefit. Eligibility begins at age 62, but filing before your full retirement age, as we've discussed, you can do it at 62, but if it's before your full retirement age or FRA, your benefits will be reduced. Now, things that you need to know. You cannot collect spousal benefits on your current spouse's records unless they too have filed for their own benefit. So they've got to meet that age requirement as well. And the spousal benefit doesn't increase if you delay past your full retirement age. So it's kind of a one-way street. If you wait till beyond your full retirement age, you won't get increased. But if you file before your full retirement age, you get the haircut or the reduction.
So think of this, folks. If your full retirement age is 67 and you're looking to get spousal benefits and your spouse has not started, you're not getting spousal benefits. You can only file for your own. The next part is if you're 68 and you're hoping your spousal benefits will go up, it won't. It stops when at your full retirement age. So it's really, really important to know that. And it's a great point, Catherine. Thank you for making that.
Yeah. Well, and one other thing I kind of want to pause on, and I'd love your insights as well. These, especially in a spousal situations where spouses are likely relatively the same age, give or take a few years. We know in life there's even larger gaps, but say generally a few years, one will meet their full retirement age before the other. And then their earnings history are going to look different too, because one may be a higher income earner and one may be a lesser income earner. And to have a joint claiming strategy, because you don't need to, it's not required that you both file at the same time. And this is where the strategizing really comes in. Looking at the one, you, of course, financial need is always a consideration, but looking at the ages and the earnings histories, what's the magical combination that can help optimize those benefits? It's not necessarily filing at the same age at the same time. One could be working, the other filing and receiving benefits. It's really working the Rubik's Cube to figure out the magic combination that's going to work for you and your spouse and your situation.
Yeah. You know what, from our perspective, we typically look at this in, it's interesting how the amount of Social Security you're going to receive almost changes on a monthly basis. And you know what, by waiting 4 or 5 months for a spouse that might have a lower income to file or even file for spousal benefits could make a difference of tens of thousands of dollars over somebody's lifetime. Just, you know, doing a claiming strategy, whether it's your full retirement age or 70, could be the difference with inflation of up over $100,000. So it's very, very important that you take a look at that, especially for a spousal claiming piece. In addition to that, you have people that are still subject to some of the windfall provision that goes along with your Social Security benefits, so the reduction. And some people that's going away, but others it's not, and all that kind of stuff. But it's really important to take a look at that in the context of your retirement, because it's thousands of dollars that you could be leaving on the table or giving up. It also depends on how old you are, how long life expectancy is. Obviously, nobody knows what life's going to bring, but if you've got life expectancy for a family that's pretty much everybody's living in the mid-90s, hey, it might make sense to look at getting a higher amount and working a little bit longer. It all depends on your situation. So, you know what, when you're looking for those spousal benefits, it's just really, really key to take a look at it. Now, one of the questions I have for you is, there used to be a situation where somebody can take a spousal benefit and then wait till they get to a certain age and switch to their own benefits. Is that, are people eligible to do that anymore?
We've got to double check on that, because the rules are constantly evolving. But knowing that it once was, I think it's important to check in and see if it's available and to be on the lookout for potential changes that are coming down the pipeline.
Yeah, I think it's really important, because one of the biggest things about Social Security is a lot of times once you've started, that's where you're at. You're not really changing it too much. It's important to really pay attention and understand what it really means to you and how it can impact you. So thank you. I'm sorry, I cut you off there.
Oh, okay. No, but you're exactly right. But just the point, we're talking about Social Security here and now, but there's constantly little, you know, things, adjustments that can affect our decision making and things for people to be aware of.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So now that we've talked about spousal benefits, let's start talking about divorce benefits. What does that mean? You just got divorced. What benefits are you eligible in reference to Social Security?
Okay. And so I'm going to read this because I want to get it just right.
Perfect.
If you've been married for at least 10 years, you may qualify for spousal benefits on your former spouse's record, even if they have not filed yet. The key is you must be unmarried, at least 62, and you cannot have remarried before the age of 60. So even if you're divorced, you could still be eligible up to 50% of your ex-spouse's benefit and without impacting their own benefits. Among circles, I'll call it sort of circles where we talk about things in life and money in a casual and possibly spirited way, you know, this 10-year rule is really important. So if you're in a marriage and you're absolutely miserable and it's been 9.5 years, find a way to make it to 10 years.
You're saying suck it up for 6 months?
Find a year. Because that is, it's like a very, you know, that is the bright line test. So if you're getting divorced and it's, you know, nine years and 11 months, stretch it out that extra month, because that that could impact your eligibility to get spousal benefits in a divorce situation. But in again, the key is at 62, at least 62, you cannot have remarried. You must still be unmarried, and you cannot have remarried before the age of 60.
Okay, so here's the question. You got divorced. You're getting divorce benefits based off your ex-spouse. The ex-spouse doesn't know anything about it, which is great. But now you're looking at getting remarried. So will you keep the Social Security that was based off your ex-spouse, or will you use spousal benefits for your new spouse or have to go on your own? So what's the big deal there?
Oh, that's called do a little detective work. If your goal is to optimize your benefits. I'd like to think that love does play a part in this. And if you've met somebody you want to spend the rest of your life with, I don't know that I would let a Social Security rule about divorce-related spousal benefits be the deciding factor of whether to marry or not marry. I think hopefully I'm sentimentalist that there are matters of heart that take precedence. Mm-hmm. But if you want to know, it's worth checking. Absolutely. Your new spouse might have even better benefits. So
important to check it out. So you really need to know that.
Yeah. Or they have no benefits at all and you decide, oh, maybe we'd rather live together and or not.
Well, you know what the reality is, you know, everybody, you know, you get in love and you want to move forward and live together and stuff like that and get married. But sometimes if you're getting remarried and your income drops by $1,000 or $2 or $1,500 a month, that's impactful. And you know what, if you do some planning with an advisor that can help you look at the impact of Social Security in your decisions, sometimes people might say, hey, I think I might be, we're not going to get married, but we're going to live together for the rest of our lives.
Especially marriages later in life, both parties bring a longer history, longer financial history, and you know, there are definitely legal and love related reasons to marry. But sometimes with the guidance of an advisor, sometimes it's best to just enjoy each other's company without becoming legally married. But that's a whole other digression.
No, we won't go there today. So folks, you want to stick with us. We're going to be right back. We're going to be talking about widows, women, and here in our next segment. So stick with us. We'll be right back with more Catherine Collinson and Saving with Steve.
More expert advice for having a happier relationship with money still to come on the Saving with Steve show.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to the show that is here to help you achieve your financial goals. It's the Saving with Steve show. Now here's your host, Steve Sexton.
Hey, welcome back to the Saving with Steve show where we talk about the ins and outs of money. Again, I want to thank you for joining us, sharing us with your friends and family. You know what? All the networks, whether it be BBS Radio, Talk Radio New York City, UK Health Radio, AMFM 247, Las Vegas TV Network, they're all dedicated to empowering you to live a life of personal and financial freedom. And you know what? We're just grateful that Catherine is here to share us her information about Social Security. But the next part we're going to talk about is pretty important. It's about widows, okay? It's one of those things that's likely going to happen. Most men pass away with a spouse. Most women don't. So we want to be prepared for this. We want to understand how it impacts you, what it means to you, whether you're getting remarried or not. When can you start receiving Social Security, and how much would you receive if so, you know, at what age? Okay. And then, you know, other things that women should consider. And then if you'd like to get some resources from the Transamerican Institute here, great resources, great research that you can research for yourself. We're going to be able to get to that information as well. So, Catherine, can we just start talking about, you know, the widow situation? You know, how early can somebody start receiving, and at what percentage of their deceased spouse's Social Security benefits?
Okay, so my understanding of it is, and we have to set the table a little bit because there's
Please.
scenarios. If a higher earning surviving spouse, or this higher earn, if it's the higher earning spouse that passes away, the surviving spouse is eligible to receive whichever benefit is higher, either theirs or their own. So there's a factor in there. So you don't get both. If you're in a marriage situation, one spouse passes away, the surviving spouse has the ability to get the higher of the benefits, which could be their spouse's or their own. So that's one big important element of it. The other is if you re this is kind of good news. If you remarry after age 60 or after 50 become disabled, you may still be eligible for those survivor benefits based on your former spouse's record or your deceased spouse's record. If you remarry before those ages, you generally become ineligible for survivor benefits. However, okay, here's another factor to throw in there. If you do remarry and that later marriage ends, you could, and you're over 60, you could be eligible again for the benefits tied to your first spouse.
Oh, that's a good thing to know.
What you're not eligible for if you marry a bunch of people in surviving spouse situations, but you could possibly for that first spouse if the second marriage ends.
Okay. And then, so if you're eligible for your spouse's benefit, and I don't know if you know this, but I want to make sure, and let's say you started in your, say you're 60, you start that widow benefit, and now you're 67 or 68, and your Social Security is a lot more. Do you have the ability to switch to your Social Security from that?
So, if I understand the scenario that you've just outlined, you're receiving a spousal benefit, a surviving spousal benefit, not yet your own full retirement age. But then you're reaching your full retirement age and your own benefit is higher. Can you make the switch? I believe so, but of course, do your homework and fact check. Look before you leap.
Oh, I always agree with that. That's why somebody should be talking to somebody who understands Social Security, understands retirement planning, so you can make sure those are right in place. One of the things that I thought that, go ahead.
Oh, and yeah, the other thing, and this is just my life experience and people I've known and talked to over the years. And why it's so important we're talking about this, especially in surviving spouse situations. Oftentimes, a surviving spouse may be unaware that they actually, if they're both already receiving benefits or the family's receiving benefits, they're likely aware of a spousal benefit. But if they haven't yet, they may not be aware that when they reach 62, that they may be eligible for a benefit. If they haven't remarried, and if they don't have a benefit, or the benefit of their own might be lesser.
And that's also the reason why they should be checking with somebody on a consistent basis to make sure that that to understand their eligibility benefits. Because the last thing you want to do is be giving up $500 to $1,000a month for the rest of your life. Because if you're looking at 30 years, that's $35,000. But if it's, well, actually, it's a lot more than that. That's almost $12,000 a year. So you're looking at $200,000 or $300,000 you can be given up through your lifetime just by not understanding that. So that's the reason why you don't really want to do it yourself with some of these things, especially, I mean, it's almost like the IRS website, it changes all the time. So you want to make sure there's not a lot of changes to Social Security, but when there is, you want to make sure, you want to make sure your benefits are set there. Now, things,
Oh, if
go
I
ahead.
can add on that, and the importance of this is as individuals, it's just not great to wing it because chances are we only retire once. And so we're only going through this decision-making process once in various scenarios. Financial professionals, employers, retirement plan providers, they deal with thousands of people. They understand the potential scenarios, the issues, the possible range of outcomes, and can really help inform decision-making.
That's really, really big. Now, I'd like to spend the last few minutes besides sharing the research that you guys do, but talking about one of the things that you brought up. You have a spouse that passes away. Spouse's benefits, Social Security benefits, higher than the other spouse. And when this one passes away, the larger the two benefits go to the survivor, which means you're losing income. So when we look at that, what are the things that women should be looking at, especially since they're typically passing away without a spouse because their spouse has already passed away? How should people be looking at for their financial survival?
And I'm going to back it up even a little bit because, and this goes back to when the spouse was still alive, is mm-hmm. in our research, we still don't see enough dialogue in marriages. When we ask women how familiar they are with their spouse's retirement plans and retirement resources, women are less likely to say they talk about it a lot compared with men, are less mm-hmm. likely to be knowledgeable. So it's really important to have that upfront knowledge of where things stand while the spouse is still alive, so that they have that information available should the spouse pass. Because the process of grieving, and people sometimes aren't great at doing paperwork, it can be really hard to track down that information or even gain access to information. Rightly so, the financial services and government agencies are really locking down personally identifiable information. To have as much upfront while the spouse is still alive and even check with an advisor what the scenarios might look like can make it a whole lot easier than trying to react once the spouse has passed and to navigate things as a surviving spouse. So I don't know if that's helpful, but I think—
Actually, it is. You just told me that, you know what? The last thing you want to do is be a deer in the headlights trying to navigate this. Because yes. It makes it really, really, really hard when you're in a situation where you really can't think about a lot. But if you take 3, 4, 6 months, 5 years before that occurs, if you know what you got to do, when you need to do it and how to do it, it makes it a lot easier. And if you're prepared for it, that means it could be something that just becomes you lose a spouse, it's gigantic emotionally. But from a financial situation, it could be a small bump in the road or a very large one. You just want it to be a very small one.
Yeah.
So that's
and
really
less thing to worry about.
So tell us about what the Transamerican Institute does and your role there and how people can get resources from what you do.
Okay. We are a nonprofit private operating foundation, and we do research and educational outreach on what we call retirement security in the intersections of health and financial well-being. And on the research side, we're best known for our annual retirement survey, which is now in its 25th year. We have been tracking how people are saving, investing, preparing, viewing, and living in retirement. So we have a quarter of a century of perspectives on that. And then through our research, we're always on the lookout for what we call actionable insights, things that people can and should be doing, especially things that are within reach mm-hmm. that can help improve their long-term financial outcomes and improve their quality of life. So, for example, something that we repeatedly see in the research is asking people about their level of knowledge of Social Security, and hardly surprising, relatively few say they have a great deal of knowledge about it. So for us, that's a launching point to have conversations like this to help spread the word, things people can and should learn about Social Security, because as you've said so beautifully, it can mean hundreds of thousands of dollars in your lifetime benefits. So that's who we are and what we do. And our website's at transamericainstitute.org. And we would love it if we have a page on LinkedIn. We'd love it if you followed us on LinkedIn. And we're also on, we're active on Facebook. We're on X, but not quite as active as our two main platforms, which are LinkedIn and Facebook.
Well, folks, guess what? It's going to be on our website as soon as the episode becomes live. And you'll be able to go back to checking out the Transamerican Institute at transamerica.org, which is really simple. But if you're looking for that link, you can always go to our website under episode 247. So I want to thank you again, Catherine, for sharing the information with us. The pearls of wisdom that you've shared will be instrumental to the people who are listening today. So thanks again for joining us.
I hope you have a wonderful week right here on Saving with Steve. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you for joining us for the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton. To learn more about the show and how to become a guest or sponsor, visit savingwithsteve.us. That's savingwithsteve.us. Join us again next time as we continue to talk about everything under the sun that relates to you having a healthier, happier relationship with money. This has been the Saving with Steve show, hosted by Steve Sexton.